Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence and ESE Insight calling. Submissions, submissions everywhere, but not a song to drink. Yet. Coming up, the September 1st deadline has passed. BBC goes junior, and we have a notable news for Rosalind. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, welcome. The on-season is here. I'm Ewan Spence, myself and the team at ESE Insight, ready to bring you another year of the Eurovision Song Contest. Yes, that mythical date has passed. I mean, it used to be just a technicality, just a little line saying you can't release your songs before September the 1st or they will gain commercial advantage and therefore are not eligible for the Eurovision Song Contest. But with the delights of social media cycles and various other bits and pieces, mostly very, very, very eager members of the community, the September 1st date is now seen as the start of the on season. So the summer is over. Turin's 2022's gap to the start of the run-up to the United Kingdom 2023 or Ukraine 2023. Let's just see how the branding goes. That's it. We're game on. I mean, it doesn't mean much has changed. It means lots of submission windows are open by broadcasters and we're going to go through them to make sure we have all of them later on in the podcast. But in terms of things that are rolling on, yeah, we got some nice posts out of it. There's a nice bit of headline. We got the next little bit in some JPEGs of Sundials of the Year. But other than that, everything keeps moving on. We don't have a date yet. We don't have a host city, although we do know that the comprehensive submissions need to be into the BBC by September the 8th. So that process is continuing in a relatively transparent manner. Obviously, we can't see the bids, but everything is staying up to date. We know where the process is. We even know that there's two jobs being advertised as well. So if you feel like doing some big upper management roles at Eurovision at the BBC, find that on the BBC website. But for now, the other website to mention is ours, www.eseinsight.com. And of course, you can support us at patreon.com/eseinsight. Right then, let's head into the contest, shall we? Okay, two things to note in a sort of big overall plan. The first one is a rules, not a change, just a confirmation that we're staying with one of the areas we had last year with backing vocals. Introduced during the COVID pandemic for the restricted 2021 contest, retained for the 2022 contest, and now staying in place for the 2023 contest, backing vocals can now optionally be put on tape for a song. Now, that allows more flexibility in presentation. You don't have a limit of six people. You can put an entire choir on there. You can put hundreds of community members, as Iceland did last year. And it also allows you to do interesting production things that you wouldn't be able to do if you only had six people mic'd up on stage to do all the vocals. This only applies to backing vocals. So lead vocals, lead support vocals, they still have to be live. There is no karaoke or lip syncing going on here to a backing tape. You can hide a singer behind the back and lip sync to that singer because the live vocals are still on stage. But, you know, we will call you out every single time you do that. Looking at Balkan Girls. That's the song. No. Anyway, yes. What else do we have? Yeah, look, I know traditionalists are going to rile against this rule. But at the same time, we don't have an orchestra. You only sing one song instead of two. We can't do a complete carbon copy of that first contest back in the 50s every single year. Time moves on, production techniques move on, sound moves on as well. Just as pop music has changed and demands different things, as does the Eurovision Song Contest. And speaking of changes, you can win the contest without winning. And I've said this a number of times, and it is clear in terms of business and presence and everything, but Rosalind from Armenia is a wonderful example of this year, and probably outpaced even Sam Ryder, it has to be said, in terms of not winning, but for winning's sake. She has now become only the 12th artist from the Eurovision Song Contest to enter the US Billboard Top 100 with her Eurovision song. Only the second in the 21st century, the other one is Arcade from Duncan Lawrence. The one before that is Gina G's Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit. Snap is currently at number 97 in the top 100. Its target, I suppose, probably now is to stay in there, but also Duncan Lawrence's Arcade reached 30. So if you want a stretch goal, there is your stretch goal there. In terms of streaming medium, it's also worth noting that that Snap has now burst through 110 million streams on the popular Swedish streaming service that starts with an S. You know, that is a high watermark. In terms of all the songs in the service, not many get there. So you can just count Rosalind as getting an absolutely fantastic run. And yes, that's 12 artists who've made the top 100. There's the Dues Points reference from the opening credits. Let's look forward now to 23. Okay, in terms of declared countries, we have 5 to add to the official tally. That takes us to 29. So we welcome Georgia, Iceland, Malta, Portugal, and Romania onto that list. September the 1st, many of them declared, along with opening their submission processes. Yep, I'm getting to that. It's a big list. One note here, as well as seeing the rules on the backing vocals tape, there's also a little note now in the rules that says that broadcasters should publicly declare by September the 15th. So by the time we do a next news pod in 2 weeks' time, we should have our complete list. Although, caveat there, you can withdraw up to October the 11th without incurring any financial penalty. Essentially, once the EBU knows how many countries are going to be entering, they can work out the entry fees because it's prorated over a population and various other financial bits and pieces and potentially how much electricity you could afford. So we have all our countries there. Nope, not going to go down the list. We've got a busy show. We only have the single artist at the moment, which is Israel's Noah Carell, and no song as yet, although the Israeli broadcaster has noted that there will be a songwriting camp to help write a song for Noah and Israel's entry into the contest next year. Slight diversion to Junior Eurovision here. We have one more name of a broadcaster in there, and it's the BBC. The United Kingdom is returning to the Junior Eurovision Song Contest after a long time. They're going to be in Yerevan now at the party, taking us up to 17 entries. I'll give you the full list on that one. That's Albania, Armenia, Bulgaria, France, Georgia, Ireland, Italy, Kazakhstan, Malta, Netherlands, North Macedonia, Poland, Portugal, Serbia, Spain, the United Kingdom, and Ukraine in there. Now, the BBC submitting an entry into Junior Eurovision is both expected and unexpected. It's unexpected because, well, there's been little interest from the BBC over the years. S4C have used the entry slot as a Welsh entry before COVID, and ITV was running the UK's entries for the first 3 years of the contest, but nothing from the BBC. But in a sense, it's also expected because every host broadcaster for a contest has taken part in the Junior Eurovision that was happening 6 months beforehand, in other words, in the same season. And presumably that's for broadcasters just to get a better idea of what it's like to run a live event, just see everything in practice, albeit on a slightly smaller scale. And yes, the BBC might have done a lot of big outside broadcast event like this. You look at something like Glastonbury, you look at Sports Personality of the Year, and you think, how much can they learn from Junior Eurovision? It's an opportunity to learn. There's not many of those in a live environment, so you take every opportunity you can. And of course, there is a renewed interest in Eurovision at the BBC itself. And why not? I mean, if it's our chance to get Hackerty Dog doing commentary, I'm all for it. Oh, yes. Hackerty Dog is one of the presenters on the children's TV channel run by the BBC. For all of those outside of the UK who don't know all the innocent men that we have here in the broadcast TV. Right, let's go into the country news now. And basically, it's country. There's a submission till this date. So hold on to your horses. Belgium. No more details there, just as I've done a lead-in, but there you go. Broadcaster VRT, it's their turn this year. The two Belgian broadcasters take turnabout. VRT's confirmed it will be going for a national selection, but we have no further details as yet on that. Keep listening to the podcast. Finland has opened up the submission window for UMK, their show for new music and the national final. It opened on September the 1st, as many of the submissions have, but closes on September the 5th. You had advance warning of this over the summer. You should have your demos ready to post now. Georgia, not a submission window, which is unusual for the pod this week, but a note from broadcaster GPB that The Voice will be selecting the performer for the Eurovision Song Contest ticket. Presumably, once they have the performer, they will know what sort of song to write and they will find a song there after the date. Greece, submission window is open there. It's going to be for an internal selection, which Greece have done for the last couple of years, and that will close on the 9th of October. Iceland have opened their submissions, but they've also announced the dates for the national final for Songva Kepden. Five songs will be taking place in semi-final one, February the 18th. Two will qualify for the grand final. For the five songs in semi-final two, again, two will go through from that. One wildcard will be selected, which gives us five songs for the Songva Kepden final on March the 4th. Malta. Submission window is open, this time for a Malta Eurovision Song Contest, which is their imaginatively titled national final. They're looking for 40 songs in total, so that'll be whittled down from the submissions for the 40 to go through to the televised round. Now, this isn't open yet. They've just announced it, okay, which is it's opening on October the 17th to get your entries in, so you've got time to get everything ready, and will close on October the 31st, so you've plenty of time to get everything there, and then there will be an announcement of who qualifies through in November. We also have some news from Junior Eurovision from Malta. 16 performers have been announced here. There will be a national final on October the 2nd, and the voting there will be 75% jury, 25% public, and if there's a tiebreak, the jury winner goes through. Netherlands. Netherlands is the other way around for news about their submission window. It closed on August the 31st. Selection committee is going to be meeting next week. It's an internal selection, so we'll keep an eye on that as they go through just over 400 entries into the contest. Portugal confirmed its Eurovision entry. We have details on Festival de Canção there. The submission process is open. It closes on October the 21st. They're looking for 20 songs here. 10 for the first semi-final, 10 for the second semi-final, with 5 qualifying from each for a 10-strong national final there. Now, 16 of those songs are going to be invited by the broadcaster. That submission window is open for the last 4 songs. And basically, it's the songs that go in now. Performers can be announced later, but you can put a little note saying, we quite like this performer as well. Romania. Romania is an interesting one. TVR has declared it is entering Eurovision 2023, but it has also confirmed it is still looking for legal recourse for its jury vote being annulled at Turin by the EBU. We'll watch this one carefully for intentions that happen. Let's count this as an administrative note. More details from San Marino. Unovoca per San Marino will be its second year of the national selection. We are going to have 4 qualifying rounds here. 15 songs per show. The first 3 will be for international artists who'd like to represent San Marino. And the fourth one will be 15 artists from San Marino itself who are looking to represent the country. So 4 going through from each round at least. So you're going to get a definite 4 San Marinese representatives. There'll be a second chance round there as well. I think they're topping up to get 20 into that final as well, which is going to be taking place on February the 25th. Applications are open now. If you're San Marinese, it's €50. If you're not San Marinese, it's €100. And if you submit late, it's €150. Details on the website, as always. Serbia, broadcaster RTS has, you've got this, confirmed Eurovision entry, tick, opened up the submission window, tick, and told us when it closes, November the 15th, check. Spain, submissions are open, check. That's for Benidorm Fest, actually, which was such a great success last year. Spanish music industry really getting behind Eurovision, much in the way that the United Kingdom has as well. And that's open until October the 12th. There are some rules in play there, just to keep everything on the level, or at least keeping it feel rather Spanish. If you're a solo act, you should be Spanish or a permanent resident. If you're part of a group, at least half of the group must meet that qualification. One of the songwriters, at a minimum, should also be based in Spain. And you have to use either Spanish, Catalan, Basque, or Galician for at least 60% of the song. The other 40% can be any language you like. It could be in English for the Romanian. It could be Klingon to get the geek vote. Or you could make it up and do a song about busy, busy bees. Everybody will go, didn't Georgia try that a while back? They did, and they won Junior Eurovision with it. So, bees might be an option. What else? Sweden. There's another submission window open. SVT confirms that entries can be sent to them for Melody Festival up until September the 16th. This is to select 14 of the 28 entrants. The other 14 is selected by an internal committee inside SVT. And finally, Ukraine, the Junior Eurovision has opened up a public vote so the public can decide who is going to be on the national jury to select a contestant for the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. That's an interesting choice. So 10 candidates are listed on the website. The top three will ultimately serve on the selection panel. People can vote now up to September the 6th on the broadcaster's dedicated Junior Eurovision site. Whew. That was a lot to get through. So, yes, what have we got to look forward to now the summer months have come to an end? Well, we're going to have a little bit more on the website. Coming up in the next couple of days, we have our predictions on what we think will happen during the 2023 season. Some of them incredibly serious, some of them are just a little bit more lighthearted, but that pretty much sums up the contest all told. Last week on the podcast, we had an interview from the archives with songwriter Bill Martin, who'd, of course, written way back in the 60s for the United Kingdom, including Congratulations. Again, a song that didn't win, but still did win quite because we still know it. We still sing it. It's a great big hit for Cliff. All of that in the past, which we always look at. So there's going to be so much looking back at the UK's history, the Eurovision Song Contest this year in the mainstream media. We will do some of that as well, but we'll also look forward. We will look to the wider community. We will look to the changes happening in the contest and attitudes towards it as well, right up until wherever we end up going in May. So stick with us on the website. Support us on Patreon. Stay safe out there. Stay safe out there. That's the big one. Find something to be happy about every day. For me, it was this podcast. Ta-ra for now. Cue the guitars. This ESC Insight News podcast was hosted by Ewan Spence, written by the team at ESC Insight. Find out more at www.escinsight.com and support us at patreon.com/escinsights.